So today we are very, very fortunate to have His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu with us. Prabhuji will be continuing from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 42 onwards. Prabhuji, you can now take over.
Okay, thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 22, text number 42. स्थानाभिलाषितपशिस्थितोऽहं त्वां प्राप्तवान् देव मुनीन्द्रगुह्यं काचं विचिन्वन् अपि दिव्यरत्नं स्वामिन् कृतार्थोऽस्मि वरं न याचे. Translation: When he was being blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva Maharaj said, O my Lord, because I was seeking an opulent material position, I was performing severe type of austerities, severe types of penance and austerity. Now I have gotten you, who are very difficult for the great demigods, saintly persons and kings to attain. I was searching after a piece of glass, but instead, I have found a most valuable jewel. Therefore, I am so satisfied that I do not wish to ask any benediction from you. Purport: This verse is from the Hari Bhakti Suddhodaya 7.28. Text 43. Samsara Brahmite Kona Bhagya Kehatare Nadira Pravahe Yena Kashdalaga Tire. The conditioned souls are wandering throughout the different planets of the universe, entering various species of life. By good fortune, one of these souls may somehow or the other be delivered from the ocean of nescience, just as one of the many big logs in a flowing river may by chance reach the bank. There are unlimited conditioned souls who are bereft of Lord Krishna's service. Not knowing how to cross the ocean of nescience, they are scattered by the waves of time and tide. However, some are fortunate to contact devotees, and by this contact, they are delivered from the ocean of nescience, just as a log floating down a river accidentally washes upon the bank. Text 44. Maivam mamadam, maivam mamadamasyapi shaye devachutat darshanam priyamana kalanadya kvachit tarati kashana kashchanam. Because I am so fallen, I shall never get a chance to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was my false apprehension. Rather, by chance, a person as fallen as I am may get to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although one is carried away by the waves of the river of time, one may eventually reach the shore. Purport: This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.38.5 was spoken by Akrura. Text 45. Kona bhagye karo samsara kshayan mukahaya साधु संगे तबे कृष्णे रति उपाजया. By good fortune, one becomes eligible to cross the ocean of nescience. And when one's term of material existence decreases, one may get an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. By such association, one's attraction to Krishna is awakened. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this point. Is this bhagya, fortune, the result of an accident or something else? In scriptures, devotional service and pious activity are considered fortunate. Pious activities can be divided into three categories. Pious activities that awaken one's dormant Krishna consciousness are called bhakti unmukhi sukriti. Pious activities that bestow material opulence are called bhogonmukhi sukriti, and pious activities that enable the living entity to merge into the existence of the Supreme are called mokshonmukhi sukriti. These last two awards of pious activity are not actually fortunate. Pious activities are fortunate when they help one become Krishna conscious. The good fortune of bhakti unmukhi is attainable only when one comes in contact with a devotee. By associating with a devotee willingly or unwillingly, one advances in devotional service, and thus one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन् इति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे. हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. So today we are discussing from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 22, text number 42 through 45. The chapter title, The Process of Devotional Service. The context that we are in is when Mahaprabhu is speaking about pure devotees versus people who are trying to imitate or trying to wobble in Krishna consciousness. And Mahaprabhu started to explain about somebody who is externally being a devotee, and he's also talking about four Varnashrama ashramas. He's talking about how to differentiate between Maya and Krishna, and how somebody who is not careful of Maya, he gets trapped. And when he was explaining, he is talking about this particular verse in line with him explaining about the Supreme Lord's transcendental position and opportunity to serve the Supreme Lord. It's very interesting. Once, one Brahmana visited Mahaprabhu's house. This Brahmana was very nicely served by Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. So, after all the services, the Brahmana was very highly pleased. So, as a customary, they generally give ashirvad, blessings, So all the family members, they went to take blessings of this Brahmana. So in general, as a traditional circumstances, the blessings are typically all the conveniences and facilities and opulences are given importance. So in typically South Indian custom, traditional South Indian Brahmin custom, whenever there is a big event, ceremony, festivals, if you take blessings from the priest or the Brahmana, they bless like this. Rojano rojamanasya shobana shobamanaha danyam danam pasum bahubutra labam sadasambhatsaram dirgamayu. This means danyam. Dhanam. Danyam means, you know, grains. Dhanam means wealth. Bahu means, you know, let the boy get a very good daughter-in-law. Putra means child in the house. Labam means prosperity. Sadasam vatsaram dirgamayu. With all these things, thousand multifolded times, let this be, you know, available to you, and you live forever. So, something similar to this sort, this Brahmana gave a blessings to Mahaprabhu and their family members. The Mahaprabhu started to cry, weep, or express a kind of displeasure. So he told the Brahmana, "My dear sir, if I have made any offense, please excuse me. Why are you cursing me like this?" So the Brahmana couldn't understand. I gave an ashirvad. Where was the curse? So Mahaprabhu said, "All the big list that you just said now, they seem to be definitely good blessings for a materialistic life. But for a person who is interested in progressing in Krishna consciousness, in devotional life, these opulences happens to be an obstacle. So hence, I find this as a curse rather than a blessing." So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that pious activities can bestow material opulence. Pious activities can give us liberation. Pious activities that can awaken dormant Krishna consciousness. In our own lives, we generally get confused between religiosity and spirituality. As a part of spirituality, the perspective, the thoughts, words, action, decisions, they are all completely different from religiosity. Spirituality talks about bhakti and Krishna being the center. But in religiosity, it is about dharma, artha, kama, and also moksha. Purusharthas is what they refer to. So in our devotional life, it is extremely important that we don't fall prey to pious activities which leads us to some materialistic good results. So Prabhupada explains, unless and otherwise one comes in contact with a pure devotee, it is impossible to get this good fortune. So in our discussions today, we are going to talk about some set of reflections, and through those reflections, we will churn this 4 to 5 shlokas that we just read today. in our Krishna consciousness, one thing that is foundationally basic, especially for the students of Chaitanya Charitamrita, or especially when we are turning to be a serious practitioners, we need to have some foundational characteristics. Being in this Krishna consciousness movement for a long time will make us senior devotees very easily. To become a senior devotee in ISKCON is very, very easy, because all we need to do is just be in ISKCON. But to become an advanced devotee with advancement in consciousness, we need to follow a process and show some characteristics. So, as a part of our progress in Krishna consciousness, as a part of our endeavor to become sincere devotees, we at least need to be in such a state where we are able to differentiate between illusion and reality. If after being in Krishna consciousness, if we do not know what is illusion, what is reality, then that is considered as very, very unfortunate situation. Aho dukkham maha dukkham dukkha dukkha taram yataha kachartam vesmritam ratna harer namaiva kevalam kachartam vismritam ratna. Misunderstanding the glass as jewel, a diamond or a stone, and diamond as broken glasses. Kachartam vismritam ratna. Why? Aho dukkam maha dukkam dukkha dukkha taram yataha. Because of our continuous attachment towards materialistic things, we somehow or other are not able to recognize between illusion and reality. Verse number 42, the prayer of Dhruva Maharaj, very clearly explains this point. We are allowed to be in a confused state of not knowing the difference between illusion and reality before coming in contact with this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. But this process of Krishna consciousness, one of the first contribution or one of the first transformation expected out of us is at least to know to differentiate between illusions and reality. Otherwise, we are considered as the most unfortunate. So we are going to speak about four types of people. I'm not sure if I spoke about this earlier. Maybe we spoke about this in the last class, I'm not sure. I don't remember. We have been, you know, discussing multiple things in the last 1 week, multiple forums. Anyway, the point is that as practicing devotee, we need to differentiate and learn to identify our mistakes. If we don't learn to identify our mistakes, then we are not properly situated. So the four categories are: one, who know his mistakes, who repents for it, and as well as know the solutions and working on it. This is the first category of people who is very good. The second category is the one who is knowing his mistakes and know to differentiate between illusion and reality. He also repents for it, and he is also knowing the solution but struggling to follow the solution, does not know how to do and what to do. This person is good in one sense, but definitely need some rails, some handle to hold on. The third category is the one who is in deep illusion, who does not know the difference between illusion and reality. And the fourth category is the one who is a pretender, trying to cover up the mistakes in the garb of a devotee. So in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we should at least come to the second class or the second type, if not the first. If we identify ourselves as a person in the first type, where I know my mistakes, I know my solutions, and I repent, and I'm working on it, please go ahead, you're on the right track, help us also. But if you are in the second category, where I am struggling and struggling, and I do not know how am I going to implement the solution that I know, then please latch on to the advice given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here. By good fortune, one becomes eligible to cross the ocean of nescience, and when one's term of material existence decreases, one may get an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. By such association, one's attraction to Krishna is awakened. So by coming in contact with the self-realized devotees, we will be able to apply the solutions that we know, as well as we will be able to cross over the ocean of nescience. If we are the category 3, where we are not able to differentiate between illusion and reality, we definitely need to get ourselves admitted in the hospital immediately. Krishna Consciousness Hospital. Take full shelter and attend ourselves before it becomes too late. Or if you know anybody who is like that, please go out and help him to gain some hopes in his life. And the last category, a pretender category, is to be rejected and condemned. So Srila Prabhupada explains that for us, the good fortune of Bhakti Unmukhi is attainable only when one comes in contact with the devotee. By associating with the devotee willingly or unwillingly, one advances in devotional service and one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. That's Srila Prabhupada's verdict. So as a part of our growth in Krishna consciousness, somewhere or the other, we need to strive hard to position ourselves in such a state, at least that we are in category 2, if not 1. This will at least help us, this will at least take care of us to not to fall prey to illusion. Because illusion, accepted as reality, is the beginning point of our Krishna consciousness. And if we still remain same in that state, then what have we done of all these years in Krishna consciousness? So Srila Prabhupada, he very clearly explains that in our journey of Krishna consciousness, please take the help of devotees. And that way, our good fortune will arise. The point on religiosity versus spirituality can only be clarified and purified when we come in contact with a self-realized devotee in our life. Otherwise, we will assume our religious beliefs and our family customs as we being spiritual and try to become complacent, or we rationalize our behavior. Most of the time, those who are not exposed to Bhakti Yoga process, for them, devotion means offering some incense sticks, ghee lamp, offer some flowers, and that's the end of the day of their respect for the Lord. The rest of the day, they only focus on their own well-being. Once, one grihastha was discussing with his wife. The husband was discussing with his wife, and they were planning for their future. And when they were planning for the future, they analyzed that all the basic needs for them are in place, but they still thought that they should be definitely moving forward in their social and economical status, so that they are comfortable when they are retiring or when they are in the future. So the wife suggested that, let's pray to the Lord. Lord Shiva is considered as Asutosh, or one who can fulfill our desires very easily. So let us pray to Lord Shiva nicely and maybe ask him some benediction. So this husband started to pray to Lord Shiva very sincerely. Within few days, he got the good fortune to have one-on-one contact with Lord Shiva. And when asked for the benediction by Lord Shiva, his husband explained that our basic needs are taken care of, but we are interested in acquiring some more, you know, convenience and opulence, so that our children and our future are not always in a constrained mode. So Lord Shiva said, okay, I will sanction this. So anytime when you remember me and you want to ask something to me, here is a bell. I'll give you a bell to ring. So whenever you ring this bell, at that time, whatever you desire, those desires will get fulfilled. So this is a divine bell. Take this. When you remember me, ring this bell and ask for some benediction, you will get them. The man the man was very happy, and before Lord Shiva left, he just said, I just forgot to mention you one thing. Please remember, any time when you ring this bell and ask for something, you will definitely get them. But your neighbor will get twice the amount of what you ask. And Lord Shiva vanished. So this guy came home and started to think, oh my God, whilst I have some opportunity, I also have a problem. If I ask for money, my neighbor will get twice that much. If I ask for a house, my neighbor will get twice that much. So he didn't reveal about this to his wife because he didn't want his neighbor to be richer, wealthier, convenient than him. So he continued his regular course of life. And one day when he was not there at home, his wife was doing cleaning of this house. And as a part of this cleaning, she was feeling very tired and hungry. Typically in a traditional setup, the women always don't get a chance to be served by somebody. They always need to take care of their own cooking and serve themselves because they dedicated their life to take care of the family. And so this lady was one such lady who did not have an opportunity that somebody could offer them a good course, full course meal, because she's always working for the family. So while she was cleaning, somewhere she got hold of this bell which was hidden, and she accidentally rang the bell, and at the same time she was thinking, oh my God, I'm so hungry. Nobody is there to feed me hot meal. To her surprise, she received 56 varieties of, you know, hot meal served to her. It appeared in front of her. She got surprised. But how come this, you know, magic happened? Then she thought for a while that what made this thing to appear. Then she suddenly remembered that probably something to do with this bell. Then she started to ring the bell again and desired, may I have wonderful jewelry. Then so many jewelry appeared. Then she rang the bell, said that why not I have a big house. So she got a big house. She wasn't knowing about Lord Shiva's note that whatever they get, their neighbor would get twice. So in the evening, the husband came. He couldn't figure out his house, but somehow he managed to figure it out. And when he went in, he saw his wife glowing. His house is transformed. He has got a lot of jewelry. She has got a lot of jewelry. So he asked how this was possible, and she narrated the whole thing. And instead of becoming happy, he got morose and explained to his wife that what a big mistake you did. Do you know what you did? Whatever we got, our neighbor would have got twice. And she was also surprised and shocked. So now she said that now I know what to do to compensate this. So she said that, she rang the bell and said that, may my husband lose one eye. May him lose one side of hands and legs. and may we have a dark, deep well in front of our house. The husband started screaming, "Are you mad?" He said, "No, I'm not mad. You see my prayer. If you lose one eye, the neighbor will lose two. If you lose both the legs, if you lose one set of legs and hands, the neighbor will lose both. If you have one dark well in front of our house, the neighbor will have two. So when he has to come out, he has to fall deep in it and die." Might sound hypothetical, may it be. But the point that I want to drive here is, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining about fortune as an accident or something else, and he's explaining the three categories of pious activities. He says, if the pious activities which can bestow material opulence, bhogon mukhi sukriti, this can only tease us. This is called matsara, greed, loba. And this Kali Yuga is full of such propensities. And we are also having such a propensity. In a heart of heart, our heart does not wish good about others. Whenever we know our devotee friends gain something, we are definitely having some butterflies in our bellies flying. So unless and otherwise, we are hand-holded, we are hand-held by a bona fide self-realized devotee, we may fall trap into this pious activities to bestow material opulence. And that trap we should not get into. Rather, we should get into a trap where our ears are tweaked by the bona fide servant of the Supreme Lord. So as a part of the first reflection, we need to know our mistakes. We need to know that we struggle to fulfill the promise or the solution to get rid of our mistakes. We need to know that we are surrounded by envious and people who are greedy and having matsara, propensity to enjoy and not want others to enjoy. We need to understand that by our conditioning, somewhere or the other, we are self-centered. Hence, this association with a pure devotee, association with a devotee, association, even if you willingly or unwillingly participate in Sangha, will transform our thought process. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Premalatikara Moola. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula. So in our devotional journey, devotees and holy name are the two rails of the track in which our bhakti sails. One complement the other. The japa and bhakta together helps our Krishna conscious train to go on the track. So hence, we need to be wary of our own pitfalls. We need to be learning to identify our mistakes. And we need to know that we have this fundamental difficulty. Hence, we need a pure devotee to help us. If pure devotee is not there to help us, even Krishna would not be able to help us, because Krishna is anyway busy with his own dear devotees. So for us, the solution is not Krishna. For us, the solution immediately is Krishna's dear devotees. The second reflection is little deeper to understand what are the root cause of having this mentality to be religiously dominant, not necessarily spiritually. Because many a times we have this fear that if I am spiritually surcharged, then probably I may need to lose my opulence. Probably I may need to lose my convenience. Probably I may need to, you know, give up certain things. So this mentality of not to solve our problem and thinking that some miracle will happen and I will be all right and this problem won't affect me. So this root cause of this mentality to suffer in this world needs to be analyzed to help us to substantiate, to corroborate why we need self-realized souls. There are four primary reasons why we are not able to act on the solution as of now. The reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining that we need a self-realized soul. We spoke few verses before how Maya is powerful. We spoke few verses before how superficiality is taking us away. We also spoke how this material world is a vicious circle and only Krishna can help us out. In the same line, to analyze why this pure devotees association is very helpful to get rid of this propensity to lead a life of illusion. So there are four root causes because of which we need to take shelter of a devotee. Root cause number one, that we have a propensity for self-honor, self-esteem. So the self-honor and self-esteem is such a trap that it will not let us think beyond us. But Krishna consciousness needs to be done, practiced in spite of us. Why in spite of us? Because the biggest obstacle for us in Krishna consciousness is us. So from that perspective, we need to understand the root cause and work out solution to get rid of this, which we will talk about. So self-honor, second root cause, is about extended attachment to our ideologies. Sometimes, when we come to Krishna consciousness program, we are so much attached to our ideologies that we start to question Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's purport, Srila Prabhupada's directive, and try to convince ourselves probably these are all relevant only for foreigners, or these are all relevant only for Mlechas, these are all relevant for only Western devotees. For those who are born in South India, no, there is a, you know, Prabhupada was not referring to them. Srila Prabhupada was very much focusing on delivering the Western devotees, that's why he didn't, you know, specifically point this out. We have so many such ideologies to substantiate our own sentiments and fanatisms. Just because of these ideologies, we sometimes don't surrender to our spiritual master, or we don't surrender to this process of Krishna consciousness. So the second root cause why we need to surrender to a devotee for progressing in Krishna consciousness is to somehow or other getting ourselves rid of this attachment to our own ideologies. The third is about we being familiar to this devotional quotients. Especially those who are born in India, especially those who are born in some culture, traditional family, we have got a familiarity Oh, I know this. If you go, I'm sure you all must have experienced when you do book distribution. We get to see so many varieties of people who would talk that, yeah, I have Bhagavad Gita. Oh, yeah, my father has, my grandfather has got. Oh, I have Bhagavatam. Oh, yeah. I mean, we are so familiar or so much boasting, we would have not touched it, read it, or known about it. But we wouldn't want to say that I don't know. And at the same time, we are at the center. So the process of materialist education makes us self-centered in such a way that our familiarity, and this I can very categorically say, even amongst practicing devotees, we get so familiar with deities that we tend to recognize I am an illusion. The whole bottom line here is how to get rid of illusion and walk towards reality. That is Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna consciousness will be awakened, will be revealed, will be shared. But unless and otherwise we facilitate ourselves to do that, it will not happen. Because Dhruva Maharaj confessed, I was thinking that getting my kingdom, sitting on my lap of the Father, and getting whatever control of my country, I thought it is something great. But the moment I saw you, my dear Lord, I realized how stupid I was. And the same holds good for all of us. But by the time we realize we were stupid, if we don't act now, it will be too late for us. Hence, let's learn to somewhere or other recognize the root cause and that will help us to fix our own state. So hence the third root cause of our own trouble, not able to recognize between illusion and reality. Yes, Prabhuji's and Mataji's, it's very important. As practicing devotee, we have still a disease of not able to recognize illusion in our own Krishna consciousness. We are an illusion that we are devotees. We are an illusion that our practicing in Krishna consciousness is great. We are an illusion that everything will happen nicely. Unless and otherwise, we are questioning ourselves and we are testing ourselves and we are letting our ears to be tweaked by our spiritual master, we are going to remain in the same state for a long period of time and not going to make a progress, which is not so good for us. And the last root cause of our problems in being an illusion is our being overconfident. This overconfidence is something that we all generally have faced a situation within ourselves because we think that we can always handle it. We will be able to manage it. Okay, a couple of days it didn't happen, so I'll be able to manage it. I'll be able to come around. I'll be able to work around. I'll be able to handle this. So this overconfidence is something that is not very good for a student of Srimad Bhagavatam, because a student of Srimad Bhagavatam is expected to be very sensitive, sensible and responsible. So this overconfidence as practicing devotees will again detour us from the journey of our Krishna consciousness. So there are four categories of devotees we saw. And we also saw, as a second reflection, what are the four root causes for us to suffer in illusion and not able to recognize reality. This is to substantiate, this is to explain both our own nature, conditioned nature, and the help that we need to take from a bona fide devotee so that some good fortune will arrive in our lives. And as Akrura is explaining, the good fortune is such that somehow or the other, we will be pushed towards the shore and not drowned in the ocean of nescience. And that good fortune is a moment of association, lava matra sadhu sangheer sarva siddhi hoy. Now, the third set of reflections that I want to share is about how do we confirm or how do we know that I have taken enough shelter to a sincere devotee? Because many a times, you know, I have a spiritual master, I have a devotee, I have a counselor. Sometimes this become a fashion, sometimes this become a formality. Nowadays it's such that if you don't have a counselor and mentor, it is something like you don't have some parts of your body there. And sometimes we claim somebody as a counselor and mentor and does not even share such a relationship with that person, and it is just for a formality so that we are not considered anybody properly situated. So hence the third set of reflection, it is about some qualities expected of us if we have to surrender and associate with a devotee who can help us to get rid of this four root causes of the problem and eventually help us situated in a state where we are able to differentiate between illusion and reality, and as well as we are able to work on our solution. So the last reflection for the class today is about the qualities expected of us in a Vaishnava relationship. So there are four qualities that we are going to talk about. Number one quality is about we need to show a sign of desperateness. I'll explain this point. Because of one of the root causes of the problem in terms of self-honor, self-esteem, we generally don't want to bow down. And more so, our problems are a little complicated and a little intricate. We do not want to expose ourselves. But even if we take a courage to do that, we have a difficulty in showing our desperateness to get rid of this. Because we do not want to sound like somebody desperate. But it is explained that a desperate practitioner, a person who shows utmost sign of urgency in taking up Krishna consciousness, will be the first one to be attended. As an obvious example, from a bunch of children who are crying, the child which cries the most is attended first. So in our journey of Krishna consciousness, how much we show desperateness, how much we show eagerness, how much we show urgency matters a lot in our surrender to a devotee. Hence, surrender to a devotee is just not formality, rather it is about sense of urgency and desperateness. What are the signs of desperateness? The signs of desperateness is, I am ready to revolt against my thought and surrender to it. Because generally, I will not be able to surrender. I am ready to revolt. I am ready to resist my propensity to boss over and surrender to somebody. And this sense of urgency and desperateness is very subtly and softly put by Rupa Goswami as Utsaha Dairyat Nishchayat. These three put together can be extrapolated as a sense of desperateness, urgency with enthusiasm. If I have a problem, how much I go, how much I show sign of interest to get rid of it. It is like if some other devotee has a problem, how much we show eagerness to identify, portray, explain, take to the end of it to get it cleansed. Oh, you know, that Mataji has this problem, this Prabhuji has that problem, this leader has that problem. We keep on talking in all the forums, make sure that we do a PhD on that. But when it comes to our own difficulties, we don't show the sign of desperateness. Hence, one of the qualities that are needed to latch on to an association very efficiently, effectively is to show our sign of desperateness and eagerness and urgency so that we can receive some help. If the sense of urgency and desperateness is not shown, our priority and sincerity is never registered. Repetition and pleading in our prayers show our priority and sincerity. Follow-up and endeavor is needed from the needy than the deliverer. So we need to take the pain of following up and endeavor to submit ourselves. Second, that we need to take care in our Vaishnava association is all instructions that are correct are not necessarily relevant for us. What is needed and relevant needs to be assessed and accepted with the help of an expert devotee in our lives. We discussed before that how Srila Prabhupada was very particular and gave us a specific guidelines. There are other processes, other sampradayas, even within the Bhakti Marga, there are other acharyas who have got a slightly different mood. But to keep up our loyalty as well as our indebtedness, it's extremely important for us what that is needed for us according to the assessment of the devotee to whom we surrender rather than all that is correct. Srila Prabhupada was very particular when he gave instructions to his disciples. Different sets of disciples, he gave different sets of instructions. Hence, let's not try to go overboard and instruct our own spiritual master of what he needs to tell us rather than we hear from him what he wishes us to transform ourselves to. Many a times we got so much over enthusiastic to an extent that we tell the doctor what medicine he should give. If we are so expert in doing that, then why do we need a doctor in first place? We need to realize that sometimes we may go overboard out of over-enthusiasm. This is the second thing, second principle that we need to keep up, keep remembering in our practice to Krishna consciousness. Third, don't trade our Krishna consciousness on the compassion of devotees. Rather, it should be on our desire and genuinity. Meaning, many a times we think, oh, devotees are compassionate, anyway they will help us. Krishna is very dear, even if we make mistakes and go and ask for forgiveness, he will forgive. Vaishnavas are so dear, even if we make some mistakes and not so be serious and ask for forgiveness, they will forgive and accommodate us. We should definitely be conscious about the compassionate nature of a devotee, but we should not trade on that to say that because they are compassionate, I will do whatever I want to do and just go and ask them forgiveness at the fag end, and I'm sure they will forgive. This propensity and this attitude will not help us. Sometimes we see in our Krishna conscious journey where we take a relationship and association for granted, because we know definitely they will help us, if not today, later tomorrow. So we do all the nonsense that we want to do and just surrender to the person and everything is, you know, out of control. So hence the third principle to watch out or be conscious about is never ever trade. On the compassion of the devotees. So, the last but not least, in the process of revealing, taking help, in the process of confessing, in the process of surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master or to a bona fide relationship, let's learn to speak our heart out and not keep it hiding, and make the devotee who is helping us take an extra endeavor to pull it out. In a sense, many times in Prabhupada Katha, Srila Prabhupada's disciples have shared how Srila Prabhupada had got a divine vision. His divine vision is he is able to go through inside our heart, pull our anarthas out, and show it to us. That is the potency that a spiritual master has. This process of Krishna consciousness have. But as a genuine practitioner, we should not let our physician, our doctor, our guru, our spiritual master to go and take that extra pain for them to detect our problem. Rather, we should share it out in a very honest way. That will help us to gain an extra mileage, because that attitude of us to not hide anything, not to cover up us, will save us from being a pretender, will save us from being a sufferer or being in illusion. So the fourth principle hence is that endeavor should be made to learn to properly speak our heart out, which will tell us what is our priority, what is our focus, and that way Krishna will reciprocate. Ye yata mam prapadyante tam tadaiva bhajamyaham. So these are the three sets of reflections in the process of Krishna consciousness for these five verses that we read today, where importance of associating with devotees and how we should be very careful in getting rid of our own illusion is spoken about. So, before we conclude, I would like to just summarize the learnings that we had today. So, we discussed about how Krishna consciousness process is very sublime, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is slowly elevating us and trying to bring us out of illusion, and to not to recognize glass as jewel and jewel as glass. And we discussed about three sets of reflection, each reflection having four points. The first reflection is about how to identify ourselves that this is a basic differentiation between our illusion and reality. Most of the times, we are not so vigilant about it and may assume illusion as reality, and that can act against us. So, hence, we discussed about four categories of people The first category is about the one who knows his illusion, who knows his mistake, who knows the solution, who repents for this mistake, and who very dutifully work on the solution so that these mistakes and he can come to reality and eventually surrender to the Supreme Lord. This is a very good category to be in. It's a mode of goodness because we are on the right track. At least we know our mistakes and we are working on it. The second category of practitioners are the ones who know their mistakes, who may even repent for those mistakes, who may even know the solution, but finding it very, very hard to apply the solution because of the conditioning. And these are people who are definitely not in a bad shape, because at least they know that they are in trouble. And such people definitely need to take bona fide association, surrender to that association and take necessary help for applying the solutions. Otherwise, they will continue to remain in illusion. The third category of the ones who does not even know that they are an illusion and they keep assuming that everything is okay in their life. If some of us or somebody whom we know are in such a state, they are the one to whom we are supposed to preach and explain and reveal about the nature of this material world. The last category, we spoke about those who tend to cover their own mistakes by Krishna conscious justification and try to be a pretender devotee, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj condemns such a person. So these four categories of people are very, very, these four categories at least helps us to classify and helps us to recognize ourselves, to not fall trap of religiosity and assume that we are a devotee and we eventually need to come to the platform of spirituality. The reflections we discussed were about four root causes for us to remain in illusion. Number one was self-honor. Number two, our extended attachment to our ideologies. Number three, we being very, very being familiar and extra familiar to devotees, process, culture. And last but not least, being overconfident of our own selves, able to make it. The third reflection is about how we need to learn to surrender to a bona fide devotee. In the process of surrendering to a bona fide devotee, at least we should remember some principles to surrender, and they are: number one, we need to show some sense of urgency so that we know to set our priority and sincerity. We should definitely know to apply what is needed for us rather than what is correct, in the sense that we need to learn to differentiate between all the correct things are not needed for us, and what is needed for us need to be assessed in association of devotee. And third, we need to learn to not trade on the compassion of a pure devotee, because compassion is meant to deliver us, not that let us do whatever we want to do and finally we, you know, trade on their compassion for our own, you know, convenience. And last but not least, we discussed that how that in the process of our revelations and opening up our heart, we need to definitely learn to speak our heart out properly rather than making the other person explore it out and reveal it to us. Because by we learning to reveal our heart out already solves the problem by 50%, because by the time we share, the problem is already solved. Many devotees have this experience of sharing their problems with Srila Prabhupada and how just that process of sharing and surrender helped them get rid of it. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the importance of surrendering to a bona fide devotee so that our spiritual bhakti lata beej can be very nicely watered. So these sets of reflection will help us to surrender as well as get cleansed of our anomalies. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'm sorry that I went a little overboard on time. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much Prabhu for the very nice class. Is there anyone on the call who wants to ask any questions or comments? Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
It's a very, very nice class, Prabhu. All the points you really like. The things, I have a question. Prabhu, you were telling we should have, the devotees, we should have a devotee who guide us, but same time we should not think they will only help us. Can you explain more about this?
The point I was trying to say is that we should definitely know that we have to take shelter of a devotee. Rather than them coming and searching for us to help us, we should go on searching for them and taking help and asking for help. In a sense, a doctor cannot come and search in different houses who are all the patients. It is a duty of the patient to go to the doctor. What if tomorrow every doctor started visiting houses? Hey, are you sick? That's not the duty of a doctor. In spiritual life also, unless we show our eagerness to get cured, we show our eagerness to purify our anomalies, then we will not be making the necessary progress. So what I was trying to say is that in the journey of Krishna consciousness, we should not trade on the compassion of a devotee who is anyway there to help us, and let him find out and let him figure out and let him try to help me. Rather than, because many times we hear from some devotee, Prabhuji, I am in Krishna consciousness for the past 15 years. Nobody told me this, Prabhuji. I am in Krishna consciousness for such a long time. I have never been informed about these things. So we generally expect that we have the prerogative to be knowing certain things. But the whole process is that it is our duty to go and seek information. It is our duty to go and surrender and learn from the spiritual authorities. So the direction should be other way around, where we go and seek rather than other person coming and search for you. That makes sense?
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranams. This is Sukh Sagari from Houston. Very nice class, Prabhu. I don't know if it was already discussed, but because I joined late, I'd like to know if you discussed the qualities of a counselor you need to look in, to approach a person, a devotee like that.
We didn't discuss about it, but it's a very good question and a very important question. So there are three main qualities that I always, share as needed to be, there in a person to whom we should take shelter of. It is very simple that if I am diseased, if I am go to a doctor, and if my doctor hearing about my condition, if he starts crying, suppose for example, I have stomachache or I have, headache or I have fever, I have a jaundice or whatever that is. If I go and tell my doctor the difficulties that I am going through, and what if the doctor starts crying and weeping? Oh my God, oh, you have such a problem. Then we definitely not be able to, take treatment from him, because the person who is treating us should be bold enough, should be equipped enough to handle that situation. So there are three principles to put our trust on someone. First principle is the character, one who walks their talk. Number two, is competence, which means he or she can take care of my problem. He's competent enough. He may have a good character. He's like a very good doctor, very qualified, but is he competent to handle this? Third is the component of compassion. Because he knows that I'll become proud. In Sudama's case, actually, Sudama and Krishna's conversation, Krishna was actually very compassionate towards Sudama. So, Sudama for a moment thought that I am the most humble person, and you see, I even in my poor state, I managed to be Krishna conscious. No, so he had some little portion of pride about his poverty and being a devotee. So Krishna, by his response, he mitigated that. The principle is, our compassion sometimes may not necessarily be sweet words. Our compassion from a bona fide source could as well be scolding, should as well be instruction, should as well could as well be an austere process to be followed, could as well be some service which are very difficult to execute. So compassion not necessarily is always sweet words. I used to always say that the first three lectures programs in ISKCON is only free, and you have been treated like a royal, you know, guest. From the fourth lecture onwards, you are expected to serve, you are asked to surrender, you are definitely encouraged to perform austerities, and slowly, they will, you know, this process is so interesting that you are encouraged to do certain things which otherwise we would have not done and rejected them as austerity or burden in my system. So the three characteristics are character, competence and compassion are three things, three C to check out in a person to whom you can put your trust on. There may be more, but at least these are three something that I could think of.
Okay? Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your input. I really appreciate, the three points you mentioned. And how do we find such a person, Prabhuji? I mean, is there a process?
Sure. The process is that before we start searching for a spiritual master, we start identifying ourselves as a disciple. So the process is very nice, that if I show my desperate need, if I show my desperateness to learn, if I show my eagerness to learn and surrender to this process, Krishna as Paramatma within the heart reciprocates. That's what we just read in this shloka. He says pious activities are fortunate when they help one become Krishna conscious. The good fortune of Bhakti Unmukhi is attainable only when one comes in contact with the devotee. By associating with a devotee, willingly or unwillingly, one advances in devotional service, and thus one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. So, when you are in the association of devotees, our habits change, our thoughts change. That's a very nice saying. You sow a thought to reap an action. You sow an action to reap a habit. You sow a habit to reap a character. You sow a character to reap a destiny. And our thoughts are changed by our association. And if our association is predominant with devotees, then definitely our destiny is also going to get changed. So the process is very simple, that before we identify and search for a bona fide spiritual master, we should at least start to identify that I need a doctor. I am diseased. I am in trouble. I am in illusion. So learn to acknowledge that. That's when the desperateness and seriousness of the relationship will be valued. Otherwise, we will think that, you know, having a devotee in my life is a luxury or a pride. So, unless we know we are diseased, we will not give importance to go to a hospital or a doctor. Hence, the process, first step is to very seriously yearn and long to Krishna that I need support, I need to come to you. My dear Lord, I love you, I want to serve you, please help me do that. I'm not able to do it alone, so please qualify me so that I can engage in this process of Krishna consciousness. So preparation of being a disciple supersedes surrendering to the spiritual master. So the first step in the process is prepare ourselves, show our desperateness, then Krishna reciprocates. It is impossible that if you have been very genuinely praying to help for Krishna, Krishna did not send help. Because Upadrishta Anumantacha Bhukta Bhukta Maheshwaraha. So Krishna is sitting as Paramatma, eternally watching over our actions, and he will personally guide us. He is becoming our friend, guru, companion for eternally, and hence the process of we confessing and surrendering ourselves will definitely help us to get a devotee, and this devotee will definitely be, you know, arranged. The meeting between Hittis and Prabhupada was not a fluke. It was definitely a coordinated arrangement. So in our own lives also, we meet pure devotees not by chance. We meet pure devotees because of their causeless mercy, Krishna's causeless mercy, and little bit of our prayers also. Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhu. Sorry, I was on mute. Thanks so much, Prabhuji. I have one follow-up question, but I would reserve it. I don't know if anybody else has questions. I don't want to take up all the time, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Anybody else has a question? Okay, looks like nobody else. So you can go ahead, Mataji, your follow-up question.
Sure, Prabhu. One of my, like you said, when neophytes or beginners come into Krishna consciousness, they need some hand-holding. And one of my friends, she was doing the same, like she was guiding a new devotee with everything. But it so happened that the new person kind of latched on to her and wouldn't let go of her, you know, and she kind of felt, kind of encumbered that, she didn't have room to breathe, kind of, you know, like she kind of felt very, very cornered in one sense, because every time she would be on at her face and, she didn't know, she expressed it to me. She said that, tried to help the new devotee in many ways, but, you know, beyond the point, she's not able to take it, like, when they get too much in the face like that. So she was saying, what do I do? Because that person attends their Bhakti Vriksha, and she was like, should I stop inviting her, or what do I do? Because it's draining my energy and resources. So do you have any advice for that, Prabhuji?
I would just give some general principles rather than being specific to this case. I will recollect one of the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, which I shared long time before in this forum. This is a very famous pastime, which I have, maybe shared multiple times in, this class. Srila Prabhupada was visiting Durban. So when Srila Prabhupada visited Durban, this is the first time and only time Srila Prabhupada was visiting Durban. And ISKCON temple has got a neighbor who had a not so good relationship with the devotees. So every day the landlord lady come to fight with the ISKCON devotees, and devotees were a bit concerned when Srila Prabhupada was going to come, if she is going to come and create a scene. So the devotees thought if they should go and tell the lady that at least for the next 3 days when my spiritual master is going to be here, don't come and create a scene. But then they thought by telling, she would all the more be reactive. Then they thought let them warn Srila Prabhupada about her. But then the thought came that this is the first time Srila Prabhupada coming. Instead of giving him some good news, this looks very weird to say a problem which is petty in nature. So the devotees are in a perplexed state, and they did not. Srila Prabhupada came the first day after the morning Mangalarati. Srila Prabhupada left for his morning walk. Incidentally, ISKCON and that neighboring, house, they were sharing the same compound. So Srila Prabhupada stopped by and watched over the neighbor's lot and had few pleasant exchanges and just moved on. The second day, Prabhupada did the same. Third day, Srila Prabhupada did the same. He didn't speak about Krishna, chanting, Govinda, Rama, Narayana, nothing of that sort, and Prabhupada moved on. The fourth day, that lady came to the temple looking for somebody. She said, hey, you had an old man in your temple. Who is that guy and where is he? So the devotees got really worried that maybe this lady has come to, fight up. And they said, he is our spiritual master, founder Acharya of this movement. Why, what happened? She said that he is the only good guy in your entire movement. So the point I want to say is that many a times in preaching, we generally think that we need to give information and we need to make sure that we stuff up with all that we know. Preaching is not about sharing with people what we know. Preaching is about helping of what they need. Srila Prabhupada preached by his action. Srila Prabhupada preached by his, you know, by his personality. Srila Prabhupada preached by his own conduct. So many times preaching, we think, is something that the words that we speak, that is only 1%. 99% of preaching happens by our action and conduct. So every preacher should very sincerely remember that it is not to stuff up with somebody and really gag them, because we were not being, you know, preached like that. We progress in Krishna consciousness. Think of all the devotees in your life whom you got inspired. You would have got inspired by their action and then you got inspired by their words. So it's very important that, you know, we walk our talk. That is why I said the character, one who walks his talk. And the second point that I want to say is with respect to this context is, in a devotee's life as preaching, is sometimes by not talking about Krishna, we can bring them to Krishna. Sometimes we talk them something that they would really need help from us and attend to us. Sometimes we become so insensitive that we just call people only for their availability in preaching and services and Bhakti Vriksha and program because we are interested in our head count rather than what is going on in their personal life. And last but not least, in a devotee association, our duty is only to try and help, not force and pull. So this try and help, if for some reason beyond a point in time, somebody is showing some resistance, then let's not force anybody in Krishna consciousness, because that will have a counter effect on the preaching. As a principle, I would like to share this, but you know, local dynamics and, you know, details may vary. Some of the solutions that that I suggested may work or may need additional points. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhuji, what you said does make sense from the perspective of a preacher. I was looking more for something from the perspective of a neophyte who is, you know, kind of looking up to a preacher, because that was the problem in this Mataji's case. She helped her and, you know, tried to introduce her to other devotees and, you know, tried to slowly move her into the system, but the newcomer would not let go of her and, you know, she would just literally stalk her everywhere, you know, wherever she was. So
right. I heard similar episodes in different sangha where people, you know, possess you, or they think that you know, they are possessive of, oh, he can be only mine, he cannot give his time and energy to somebody else. But I think you know, we should at least as a preachers, by me being a doctor to you, I can only give an advice not to carry your disease. So that's a decision that an individual should take it and probably, you know, explore some other possibility of helping them.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Thank you so much for this wonderful association and looking forward for more Sangha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you all for the very nice conversations, the question and answers. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, for coming always and giving us your valuable association. We can end the call now. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyaivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. His grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna.